All right. We know Parshas Chukas is a mitzvah that we can't completely understand, or perhaps not at all. Nonetheless, and do they bring it down over here? Chazal bring down that the golden calf that was a calf, and the words of Chazal are that the mother should come and clean up the mess of her child. Right, that's what mothers do. Right, they clean up their child messes up. So just so since they sinned with the golden calf, so they so the paradim was picked to be a cow to clean it up. That's what Chazal say. It's a Beferish art scroll. If you want to see note number one here, the cow came to atone for the sin of the golden calf, as say, let the mother clean up the mess left by her child, and that's what was given to Aaron. Question is, okay, so what does really one have to do with the other? We had a carbon that was brought by the dedication of the Mishkan. There was a cow. There was a pyre, actually, or an ego. There was an ego. First of all, it should be an ego then. Fine, so you want to say it should be the mother. The mother's cleaning up. We had this before, and Rashi just said that it was a kapara, it was an atonement. Is it atonement, or is it cleaning up?
Mm-hmm.
Another question is that this mitzvah was actually given to us before. You go back to B'Shalach, right after the first time they complained about the water. Mm-hmm. What happened there, if you say on page 382, so Hashem shows Moshe a stick, a piece of wood, a tree, he threw it into the water, and it became sweet. The water became sweet. Okay? And then it says, Shem Samlo, there he gave him chok umishpat, a chok, a decree, umishpat, an ordinance. What are the chok umishpat? We look at Rashi. Rashi says, B'mar nasan la miktas parashus shel Torah she's asked b'hem. Imara gave him some of the parashus of the Torah. Shabbos was the... But I don't know which category Shabbos falls into. Par Aduma. V'dinin. Dinim, laws are clearly Mishpat.
That's true.
Okay, so they got this already. So this is a repeat. Mm-hmm. I thought we're only repeating things in Devarim.
Yeah.
Not in Bamidbar. You could say this is what Hashem said. Then, to make it even more interesting, in the middle of the Parsha, in the middle of this whole paragraph, on page 840... it starts again. Zos haTorah, Adam ki yamos ba'ohel. This is right. These are the laws. A man dies, and the Tanya talks about tumas ohel. And the Chasam Sofer says this last one is the key to what's going on over here. Are we talking about paraduma, or are we talking about tumas ohel, that a person dies in a tent? Which is it? And he said, what was the original plan? The original plan was that the Jews would receive the Torah, the first, right, if they got in the first luchos. The first luchos, right, we say were charus, if you read it with the nekudos. Without the nekudos, what other word could that spell?
Charus.
Freedom. It was supposed to be, we were supposed to live on a higher existence, be free of, first of all, forgetting Torah, but of any other, of any persecution from any nations. We would be free from death. It would be almost like an angelic existence. The life that we're living now is not that in any way. We forget Torah. Rav Shimon Shkap has a whole thing that that's the way that we have to learn. We have to go. We have Moshe carved out the second luchos. That's why we have to work for Torah. We have been subject to much persecution and death over the years. Okay, so what was the original vision when Moshe got the when Moshe was told about Paraduma. Moshe thought that he was being told, you're going to go into Eretz Canaan, you're going to fight wars, you're going to have dead nine Jews. He didn't think this would apply to Jews. Mm. In fact, when he got told, the Medrash says, when Moshe got told in Parshas Bahar, in Parshas Emor, Moshe got told that a Kohen who becomes Tameh is invalidated, he got really nervous. Mm-hmm. And didn't calm down until this parish of Chukas. What do you mean? Says the Chassam Sofer over there. He had Paraduma. Yeah, but he thought that only worked for the Tuma that of non-Jews. He thought that Tuma he thought that for Jews it wouldn't help.
But he knew of the Tuma of Yaakov.
Well, perhaps that was before Matan Torah.
They're carrying
him. Oh, the carrying, right?
And they're impure. That's why they can't do the...
so they had a second chance. Interesting question. Especially if you learn that the Torah, that the parasha is written in order. What were they supposed to have done at that point? Well, actually, that's not so bad.
So they missed the Pesach as a result.
They missed Pesach, but the next month they were ready.
Pesach Sheni.
They managed to purify themselves by Pesach in a month from then. So you could say that this was given, but okay, it's an interesting point. However, that Tumah actually is a little bit different than the Tumah described here. Why? A non-Jew is at least min haTorah. If you go in the same room as a dead non-Jew, you're not tameh. Only midrabban you are, because we don't want to get mixed up. But midoraisa, it's only b'maga if you touch him. Uvimasa, which I'm thinking now, maybe they were carrying the bones, mm-hmm. So they understood that that's a tama, and paraduma works for that. Maybe to put those two together, right? Paraduma, they were told, is if you pick up, if you carry a non-Jew, right? If you carry or touch the corpse of a non-Jew, or perhaps of anybody, if you want to go that way,
because
your tummy
was definitely a Jew.
You're right, he was a Jew, right? Okay, right, right. Although they didn't receive the Torah, so that's actually. Yeah. Okay, it's an interesting question. The Gemara does refer to, at some point, refer to them as non-Jews. Mm-hmm. Everybody was considered non-Jews before Matan Torah. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it's... Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. What did they receive here? They are told here that the Paraduma works for Tumas Ohel. Now, how do we end? So
that's a lower madriga.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Meaning even Tomas Oho, you would think maybe is a right. Okay. So why would you think it wouldn't work? Yeah. Perhaps it's a simon. Perhaps the same way that a Jew has the power of being metame Tomas Oho, you would think that the Toma is so strong that if it can do one thing, maybe it's irreversible. That's why Moshe was nervous. Moshe thought, there's no way to reverse the Tumah of a Jew. Mm. What do I mean by strong? And this is something that kind of cobbled together based on Rav Hirsch's understanding of what Tumah is all about. Right? Well, yeah, what? You know, we get spooky. You know, every churchyard, right, or many churchyards, right, is, you know, full of graves. Right? Our Kohanim can't go near them. What's Tummy about it? We have other Tumas as well, right? We have, let's say, when a woman gives birth. It's a beautiful thing. She's Tummy. Mm-hmm. Why? We have a potential, what Hirsch likes to call moral freedom. The great thing about us is that we can make decisions not based on how we feel, but on what we know is right. That's what he calls moral freedom. when a human being loses control of that, loses that ability, it's a waste. What is the point in a woman's life when she's completely not in control of her body? Childbirth. And because of that, there's Tumas Leda, he says. In fact, she actually models for her daughter. That's why she has double time, because she has to model that level of coming out of the Tumah.
Yeah.
The father takes the son to the bris, and he learns self-control. The bris represents we can change ourselves. The mother represents abstinence as her form of self-control, coming back from the state of Tumah, of lack of control. Okay, what's the ultimate lack of control? Death.
Mm-hmm.
It's a depressing thing, and besides for the loss of whoever it was, let's say you don't know him, right? Cohen doesn't know, a complete stranger, he's not depressed at that, but he's depressed seeing this body, which had the potential to do so much, which is now sitting there helpless, completely bound in its own, it can't move a muscle. Let's take it a step further then. The more that the person could do, the greater the waste of the tumma. Right? We all know very fine people who, when you come in contact with them, it's nice. You know, you deal well with them. Non-Jews as well. You deal well with them. They're nice to you. They're decent. They're upright people. A Jew has a greater responsibility. It's not just the people he comes in direct contact with. The entire environment around him is something he can influence. That's our job, is to be the teachers of the world. They say about my Rebbe, Rav Hanoch Leibowitz, Zichrono Livracha, someone took him to the doctor. And the one who was with him complimented the doctor, said, "Your staff is unbelievable. They're so nice, they're so courteous, they're so patient, they're so cheerful." He said, "I'll be honest with you, they're really not like that all the time." But when your rabbi walks in, they sense that he knows that they can be something better. He said that he looks at them, the way he says good morning to them, and I experienced it, Baruch Hashem, it's just the way he said good morning to them, just that look in his eyes was, "I respect you. You can rise. You can be something more." And they rose to it. They rose to the occasion. So that's our responsibility. Rachman Atzal, when somebody passes away, it's not just a loss to him, it's a loss to the ohel, to the whole tent, to the whole room. And that's why it's so powerful. Also, Moshe was afraid it couldn't be gotten rid of. And that's why it's doing here. Okay. What's the cleanup act? If we could pardon Reb Artscroll for sticking the word atone. Perhaps the word is not atone, but it's a fix-up.
Yeah.
The ego caused death among the Jews. The para is coming to fix up that problem and say we can get back. How do we get back? What are the two things that we use? Eitz Eres, a cedar tree, which is the highest, strongest tree there is, and Azov, the hyssop grass, if I'm pronouncing it right,
yeah,
right, the lowest.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what we have to do. Right? A lot of times, I mean, Gaiva, one could say, comes from saying, "I am what I am."
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, the opposite. Yeah. There's an opposite Toma. Right? I'm nothing. I can't accomplish anything. I can't do anything. I'm a lowly piece of grass. Whichever you are, become the opposite. Go a little bit more towards the center. And that's how you fix it up. It's interesting that the one who becomes, that the one who is Tameh and gets the ashes sprinkled on him becomes Tahar. Mm-hmm. The one who sprinkles it becomes Tameh. Not as severe, but a little bit rubs off on him. Why? Because he's coming in contact with the same depression. He's coming in contact with the same thing. It's something we have to watch out for. So on one hand, it means that we have to get our hands dirty sometimes. You see somebody who needs help. You see somebody who needs inspiration. You say, if I talk to him, when am I going to come with me? Yeah, you can do it. You have to do it. On the other hand, watch out.
Yeah.
You know, Rabbi David Orlovsky once gave a shiur called The Perils of Kiryuv Rechokim, where he spoke about how you can really, how you can really come down yourself. You have to be careful. On the other hand, it doesn't exempt us from trying. Skipping ahead. The people come to. Right, the people come to the Midbar on page 842, and they say to Moshe, they say to Moshe the following. It says, they say to Moshe, we should have why'd you bring us into Mitzrayim for? Right, what do you do? It's very wordy. Right, because so we understand there's no water. Right, so they gather on Moshe, and they say, if only we had died lifnei Hashem. What v'lam ha'vesem es kal Hashem, this is Pasuk Dalet, why do you bring the congregation of Hashem al midbar azel lamos sham, anachnu uvi'irenu? You brought us in this desert to die, we and our cattle. And the third thing was, V'lama halisenu Mitzrayim, why did you bring us out of Mitzrayim to bring us to this place? What's going on here? First of all, who died in front of Hashem and who didn't die in front of Hashem? The people who died in the 40 years of the desert were cut off. They got kares. They were not. It was not only a one death. It was a. It was not only a death in this world. It was death in the next world as well. Who's complaining, at first at least? V'lo ha'imayim lo eda. That same eda, the same people who got punished. They're the ones. They know that they're dying. They know that they're dying in the right, they hold on 1 second. I just want to quote it correctly. This is the Kli Yakar. Right, so they said. So at first was that small subgroup who was saying that was saying, if only we had died in front of Hashem. You brought us out to this midbar to die. Anachnu uvirenu, we and our cattle. It wasn't just a matter of lack of water. They were saying that there's no difference. A behemoth dies. That's it. We die. That's also it.
To whom you refer when it? Who died in the desert?
Those who were between.
There are two. The golden calf was one of the first.
That was right. That was the first, and then the people who said that we're not going in. The 40-year people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. So those people, the second group.
The second group. Yeah.
Right.
The Meraglim.
Right. Those who followed the Meraglim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They said, right, they said we're not going in.
This is Karet?
Yeah, they had Karis. He says, Bamidbar is a Yitamu Visham Yamusu. Said they will be, it says double Lashon. It says they will be finished and they will die there.
But what is the Aveda?
What? Because they basically showed a lack of belief in Hashem. Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim and everything like that. They showed no connection. They showed they had absolutely no trust.
Because they have 37 categories of carats, 36 already, right?
Okay.
In Kerezos, it's
okay.
But I look it up now, I want to match what this guy did with the Kerezos, say, because Kerezos, we have 36 categories of carats.
Okay.
Next, go very into carrots, which is one of my passions.
Learn it together. Okay, we have to learn it together. Okay.
Yes, I will figure it out.
Okay. Yeah, good. Okay. All right. So what does Hashem tell Moshe to do? He tells Moshe to take the stick, right? And we all know what this is leading to, right? Moshe goes and takes his stick and actually uses it. Let's stop right there for a second. Why is Moshe told to take the stick?
To take the staff. Yeah.
Right? Why is Moshe told the staff, right? To take the staff, right? Kachas amate. Why? Second problem. If you look at the bottom of 842, top of 843, Vayikach Moshe es hamate milifnei Hashem. Hashem took the staff from before Hashem. What is the staff doing from... What?
Moshe
took the staff from before Hashem. What's it doing in front of Hashem? Probably this Moshe's staff he got from Yisro's backyard, right? Mm-hmm. We're told, right? Right. What's it doing in front of Hashem in the Mishkan? And doesn't before, by the way, whenever it talks about, if you look, you know, as early as Parshas... In Parshas of Va'era, right? It's not what it says. It says, "Emor l'Aaron, kach matcha, take your staff.
Mm-hmm.
Take your staff. Mm-hmm. All time, take your staff. What's the staff?" So the Kli Yakar says, wrong staff.
Aaron's staff?
Aaron's staff was sitting in front of Hashem, growing leaves and sprouts. Remember from Parashas Korach, right? Mm-hmm. Right, last week, right? Right. Aaron's staff is sitting there, growing leaves and sprouts and fruit and almonds, right? Everything like that. But he said, "Take that staff."
But I saw one of the Mepharshim said it was they just took a stick and sliced it in pieces and
Okay.
Right,
it's not the same staff. It's right. It's a stick. It's right.
So
it's,
that one was put in the
right. So he meant the staff. The stiff. Right. But they call matos. Right. Mate. Vayiru bayichu ish mateu. So even though it may have started out as a big one and they sliced it, I haven't seen that. But okay.
So the people
right.
could say, "Hey, that was a special
right.
one. Was all out of one."
Okay. Right. But right, but it says that kachas mate Aaron, take Aaron's staff, you know, even
well,
if it was a sub staff from that larger one, right? And place it in front of the Edus, in front of Hashem, right? Okay, so now it makes a little bit more sense. What are we doing with the staff? What was the speech? What was the Kiddush Hashem supposed to be from speaking to the rock? Right, they're supposed to speak to the rock, and people were supposed to say, if the rock, which doesn't have any life, is spoken to and it listens, certainly we. Mm-hmm. Right? What does this have to do with our own staff? This piece of wood, mm-hmm. not planted, right? All of a sudden is growing fruit. He was supposed to show the rock. See this piece of wood? This piece of wood grew fruit, even though, because Hashem said so, even though it didn't have any nutrients, it's not getting anything from the ground, right? It's just a piece of wood.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly you, the rock, should be able to go and produce water. Mm-hmm. And then the people would have taken that and said, oh, and we, who are alive and who can do mitzvos, should certainly listen to Hashem. Just I'm being told. It was a symbol. Mm-hmm. Hashem never intended for anything right, and in fact, this is not the doesn't look like this is the staff that Moshe used. If you look in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayar Moshe's Yado, Moshe raises his hand, Vayachas Hasela Bimatehu, with his staff. It's a different staff. You gotta know your staff. <let's see. laughs> Sorry. Right? Right?
It was a piece of pipe with a faucet on it. Okay.
Right?
The pasuk says that Moshe took the staff from
before Hashem.
Before Hashem.
So right.
Do you think he switched staff?
Well, he had two. I mean, he had that staff, which he's supposed to use to speak. And let's get into a second why he didn't. Right? But, right? But then it says, Vayachas Hasal b'matehu, with his staff. He had both.
I forget what the parsha was, but there was another instance where Hashem told Moshe to take his staff and hit the rock.
Ah. Okay. So right, Moshe told us that, right, so Moshe had that, and in fact, it's funny, because, right, it's slightly different. If you look, without troubling you to get it, but in the, that, right, he hit a Tzura HaChalamish. He hit a boulder in that case. Tfilas Gashem, we mention, we go through the different Avos Avram,
mm-hmm.
Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Moshe. We talk about Aaron, right? And it says there. Can't find it. Right, it says there, Zachar Mashi Betevas Gomen Amayim, remember the one who was drawn in a tar basket from the water. Namu Dalo Dala Vishkatso Mayim, when they said, the daughters of Yisro said that he drew water for us and fed our sheep. Skulecha es tzavul ma'im, when your beloved ones were thirsting for water, al hasela hach ve'itu ma'im, he hit the sela, he hit the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second. Right, that the chalamish, right, could have put that in, right, that's what it says in Halo, right? Hofri etzuraga ma'im chalamish l'ma'im ma'im, right? Different word here, right, sela. So we're praising Moshe, so what Moshe did was not terribly bad. Someone said to me, you know, how can you explain how Moshe, Hashem told him A and Moshe did B?
Yeah, and also the A that he told him to do was about the staff of remembrance of the rebellious ones. I mean, that was exactly
what
he was supposed to bring out of the people.
Well, that staff was never for hitting. Okay, so no. He had a staff that he's using for hitting, which was one that he used before.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how can Moshe flip the script?
But wait a second. More than that, Moshe, the very first time with the rock, Hashem taught Moshe how to talk to the rock. How do you talk to it? You take your staff and you give him a hit.
Okay.
That's how you talk to a rock.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, he didn't say over there. He said hit. Over there, he told him to hit it. Here he told him right. The truth is that it doesn't seem to me to be that much of a problem and that Moshe did not follow instructions to the T, because Moshe a lot of times did not follow instructions to the T. For example, the breaking of the Luchos. Moshe was told to bring down the Luchos. Moshe sized up the situation, said these people cannot handle Luchos, broke them, and the Torah, Hashem says, Asher Shibarta, the Luchos that you broke. From that word asher, the Gemara says, it was yi asher kochacha, yasher kayach, for breaking those luchos. Moshe added on, right, according to the favored opinion in the Gemara, we celebrate Shavuos a day before the Torah was given.
Mm.
Because it was supposed to be given the 6th of Sivan. Moshe said they need another day of preparation, and he pushed it off to the 7th of Sivan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Moshe is allowed that discretion to make judgment calls
mm-hmm.
based on what's going on. So then the question becomes, okay, why this judgment call? What happened? Right? Okay, so the Right? The easiest thing is to say that what happened right before? They're standing around. Presumably they didn't quiet down with that first speech. I mean, they're getting more and more upset. Right? They're standing around there. And what do they say to the people? Very uncharacteristic. Shimu na hamorim, on page 844, Shimu na hamorim, listen, rebels.
Yeah.
Okay? Meaning, they must have been put in a very difficult situation. Hashem does miracles for people who are ready for those miracles. Moshe's afraid, and what would the people have said had Moshe spoken to the rock and it not worked? It would have been on, you know, all the websites, you know, all the blogs, you know. Moshe thinks he can speak to a rock, you know. Moshe's going senile, you know. He thinks that rocks can talk.
Red's the vant, right?
That's why a guy goes to the Kosel before he gets married, you know, to learn to talk to the wall. Right? Could you imagine the ridicule and the chil Hashem that Moshe is predicting the people would have had? Mm-hmm. Moshe says, "Let me play it safe here. I know Hashem said talk to the rock. The way that these people, I don't have direct communication now, but my sizing up the situation, these people are not ready for an open miracle like that. Let me at least do something in the way of nature that will, it's an obvious miraculous anyway, but it's a smaller miracle, such as trying to stuff as many animals as Noach did into the Teva. I don't think the math works out. So good, asks Rav David Feinstein. Just make a bubble. Why bother with a Teva? We try to clothe the miracle in some sort of natural phenomenon. Make it smaller, make it less obvious. There's a wind blowing the entire night by the sea. Why?
So, yeah.
Minimize it, because we're not... So Moshe says these people are not ready for... They could have done it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
They need to see some sort of physical manifestation.
Yeah.
But you think Moshe saw them kind of on the same level as they were when they first
went to Mitzrayim? Yeah. Right. The Rambam actually says that the problem was not what he did. That Moshe was right. That Moshe, they were not ready for the miracle. The way they spoke, they were no longer ready to have Moshe speak to a rock. The way they spoke, but still, to call them rebels, that you don't do. Speak like that. What I did see was that what did happen, and maybe this is a clear, the Aruch Chaim says, what did happen, what was supposed to have happened was, and it's a strange lashon, yan lohem mantem bi, right? The translation is, because you did not believe in me.
Mm-hmm.
The way to say that is, yan lo emantem bi. He emantem sounds like, you made other people believe. You could have made other people believe that our relationship with Hashem is supposed to be based on what's right, based on what we're told. What is our relationship with Hashem as we go through the entire Navi? And it's almost like, you know, Sefer Shoftim especially, it's like a roller coaster. It's like almost like a cycle. Jews have it okay. They start sinning. Some enemy comes and threatens them. They daven to Hashem. He sends a shofet. He brings them back to tshuva. They win the war. They have it good. They go back to sinning. They around and around and around and around and around. And really, this is the cycle. Why? Because we only respond like the rock responded to being hit. That's the our level of belief is unfortunately such that sometimes we need a real patch to get us going. That wouldn't have been. They say if not for the ego, actually, Chazal say that we would have exactly 6 books. We'd have the 5 books of the Torah and say for Yoshua. Why? Because all those ups and downs wouldn't have been necessary. We would have gone straight into Eretz Yisrael, believed in Hashem, kept the base of Mikdash. So the whole Shoftim, going up and down, Shmuel, Malachim, all the Yishaya and Yirmiyah telling us to do true, would not have been necessary. They really lost out. They really lost out. You could argue they were on that low level, but Moshe could have brought them up. He didn't believe that he could have. Why did Moshe say no to Lechem Mayim? One last thing on this. Why did Moshe say that we will get out the water? Also, right? Mm-hmm. Sounds like Gaiva.
Yeah,
we're going to get out the water. The Baal Sefer Ikrim says it was also caution. Let's say it doesn't work. Let's say they're not Zoche. Moshe says, let me be the fool. Let them believe that Hashem didn't send me, that I made this up, I tried this on my own. I'll take the fall for this if it doesn't work. Bottom line was that it did work, and they credited it to Moshe. Eliyahu said, right, Eliyahu says, when he stops the rain, he says, Chai Hashem, says, until I say, Hashem is not bringing rain, and he says that in the name of Hashem, he goes out on a limb, Harakama also, he goes out on a limb, and Hashem pulls through for him, because he knows that he's trying to make a Kiddush Hashem. Moshe should have done the same thing, and Moshe was much greater than Eliyahu. Moshe should have done the same thing, he should have gone out on that limb, let Hashem take care of his own kavod. Don't worry, don't try. Moshe tried to play, this whole thing, Moshe tried to play it safe instead of making the bigger Kiddush Hashem.
That does seem like a big lack of amunah on Moshe's part.
Yeah.
To make a conscious decision to not do what Hashem told him to, just to hedge his bets.
That it's not going to work or something.
Yeah. Well,
But if Hashem says do this,
right,
then wouldn't Hashem know better whether or not the people are...
Yeah, but Moshe is not just a passive follower.
Yeah, but Moshe has done things before. Right. He has done things before. Hashem gives him that wiggle room to say, look at the facts on the ground. If you think differently, like breaking the luchos, right? Moshe said bring him down. Moshe didn't stop him. Hashem was ready to kill the people. He said, leave me alone. Let me destroy them. Moshe Davin, please don't. Hashem said, fine, go. With the luchos in hand. Mm-hmm. Moshe looks at the people dancing around the golden calf and says, some people say that's what it was. Yeah. So not only that they had the golden calf, it's a little bit of Yetzer Hara, but they're dancing around, they're happy about it. He says, this is not going to go. So perhaps over the same thing here, Moshe looks at these people, the way they're talking, and says, Hashem may not pull this off for them. He may say, right, like Yaakov was worried that Yaakov was promised that he's going to live, that he's going to get brought back. What was he afraid of? Shama yigrom hachet. Maybe his averus are going to cause a problem, right? So perhaps Moshe, what happens? Hashem says, right. So Moshe will turn to Hashem and say, "How come you didn't do it?" Hashem says, "Because he didn't deserve it."
Right.
In the case of the egel, Pasuk specified that Moshe saw something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, the question is over here. They've been talking, and to call them rebels, they probably kept on talking.
Yeah.
You know, Jews are not known to hold their tongues.
Yeah.
Moshe and Aaron fell on their faces.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
a. Still calls them a
rabbi. Yeah. They're
still. That feel didn't do much.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot. There's a lot that's not written here. You know, like, in Korach. In Korach, it doesn't say that they. Chazal tells us, based on nuances in the pasuk. They say that they actually said to their wives, "Don't be alone with Moshe. We don't trust him."
Yeah.
If you can believe that,
yeah.
You know, Moshe had to count all the money from the Mishkan because they're afraid, maybe because they accused him of embezzling.
Yeah,
Jews are great, but okay. So. Interesting that later there is a Shira, a little less known, right? A short Shira. Right? If you go to page 852. Right? Az Yashir Yisrael as Hashira Azos. Right? Ali Be'er Enula. Right? By the way, this is... right, possibly this is on 852. Mm-hmm. If you're Eli Barinula, right? right. So assuming this is talking about the about the water, right? Who's not singing over here? This is a great miracle, right? The water came out from the rock. Az Yashir Yisrael, what's missing? What do we have by the other Shira in Beshalach? Az Yashir Moshe Uvnei Yisrael. Well, Moshe doesn't appreciate the miracle. And Chazal say that since this was Moshe's downfall, he could not sing. And the Rebbe Fanach said, "What do you mean? He doesn't appreciate the miracle. He's so little that he can't appreciate the miracle." He says, "No, but it's not proper." Moshe was punished.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine, like kids do this, right? You tell them, you can't go outside because you're late. What does a kid say? Every good kid worth his salt says, "I don't care."
Yeah.
That's fine. Didn't want to go outside anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Moshe has to show that this is a big deal to him.
Yeah.
It would be pasnish, it would be improper if Moshe is singing about the Be'er,
yeah.
Which was the cause of his downfall. He has to recognize, no, I got a slap on the hand, I deserved it,
yeah.
And he has to show that he's not doing it.
But is that why this Shira doesn't mention Hashem's name, because Moshe wasn't singing it?
Yes.
Ah.
Yes, Chazal say that. He says, right, a king calls people to a party, and they say, "Where is your... He says, "Where is my high minister?" He said, "He couldn't make it. He couldn't be here." He said, "If he's not here, I'm not here either." Hashem, what do you mean? He had to punish him. Nonetheless, as a father would do. It wasn't something Akash Baruch Hu did because there was another choice. Just back a page. 848. Interesting thing happens here. Aaron goes up to the mountain with Moshe and Elazar. Right? Moshe takes off the clothes of Aaron, the big day kuna, and puts them on Elazar. Now, he didn't put them on the floor. Took one off, put the other on. One off, put the other on. And Chazal say that Moshe was miskane. Moshe was jealous of that type of. He said, "Who happy is the one who can die like that?" So pashup shad it means, Elazar was able to take over for Aaron. If we think about it for a second, how do you do that? Have you ever tried to take off a suit and put it on a hanger? You know the problem with this.
You don't take them
first. You
the
take
same
off
order.
The jacket,
yeah,
and put it on the hanger. Then what do you do with the pants?
Yeah,
you put them.
Yeah.
On the, how? Yeah. Right. Okay, so that's with a hanger. How do you do this with a person?
Yeah.
Moshe takes off the right? How does it work? Mm-hmm. And the Ramban says that there was a nace done over here. That it was possible for Moshe to take off the bottom one, put it on, and to put it on in the right order. I heard from Rabbi Elazar Muskin from Los Angeles. He said, okay, yeah, nice, like, what's the big deal? The question is the transmission of the Masorah. Are we able to pass down, yes, our children, hopefully, ostensibly on the surface, try to be like us. Are we able to transmit everything accurately or without any change? Or is some things get a little backwards? Do the priorities get reversed? To what we considered secondary, do they consider the main thing? The nace was that the same priorities that Aaron had, what was more important, what was less important, that's what transmitted down to Elazar. Elazar had the same, not only the same basic idea, but the exact same pecking order of what's important and what's less important, and that's what Moshe was jealous of. Okay, and the last thing let's do is just...
Why was he jealous?
What?
Why?
Because he said to... I mean, first of all, Moshe didn't do it to his own sons.
Yeah, his own sons were not Gershon.
Moshe's own sons.
They didn't...
He asked. Moshe hints in Parashas Pinchas when he's... after the daughters of Tzelophchad come and say, we want to inherit from our father. All of a sudden, Moshe's asking for somebody to be his successor. What? We didn't think that before? So the Mefarshim say Moshe was really asking, my son should also inherit me. And Hashem says, no, it's going to be Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
Moshe did not, for all his greatness, he wasn't that successful with his sons. Moshe's, I believe, great-grandson was actually involved in Pesel Micha, was involved in the idolatry of Micha.
Which you can almost pull back to when did his sons come to the camp?
Yeah, there definitely is something. He was away from his sons for a while. They're under influence of Yisro.
And his sons didn't necessarily get there until after the Torah was given.
True.
Yeah.
Actually, Yisro wanted them to come to their own realization. Why on the way to Mitzrayim did Moshe's son first get a bris? His wife was a Kempeturin. I said, Yisro actually wouldn't let it. He said, let him get a bris. If he chooses to when he's older, he'll get a bris on his own. No training. No indoctrinating. It's like, I came to my own realization. Let him come to his own realization. Yeah. Moshe didn't told of that, and it's one of the things Yisro obviously saw. The Jews had been not given their own choice, but kind of hit over the head, taken out by the scruff of the neck from Mitzrayim. He said, okay, I guess that's the right way. Sometimes you have to prime the pump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mind's always open. They can always change their mind. Give them that first taste of Yiddishkeit. Give them that first thing. Yeah. So his sons, I mean, who knows? You know, his sons didn't get it, and he was jealous of Aaron. Aaron's sons were much more Moshe's students than his own sons were.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes.
Maybe Moshe was jealous of the kiss of death. And Hashem
could be.
Did direct.
And could Hashem, be, but they
and
say,
Hashem
but they
did tell Moshe, "I'll do the same for you."
Yeah, right. That right. So Moshe did have some of that, right? It says, "Kasher meis Aaron achicha." Yeah, definitely help.
Mm-hmm.
Last point, the Jews come to the desert. Again, they're complaining about the food. What's going on here? They said, there's no bread, there's no water. Really? What have they been having all along?
Mm-hmm.
Answer is, now they're walking, now they're moving. What do you do before a marathon? You eat heavy food so it digests. The mun's not heavy. The water's not heavy. It's spiritual. It's light. It's not sustaining them. They're afraid to walk.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? It's really Lashon Hara because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of them. It's a lack of faith.
Of course.
Where do they have to look, right, in order to get healed? Up. Right, they have to look up. What do you mean?
Yeah.
You know, the Mishnah is funny, right? The Mishnah, right, which was actually made into a song a bunch of years ago, right, says, you know, right, the Mishnah gives two cases. With Moshe's hands, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Saying, are Moshe's hands on the one anymore? No, because when the Jews looked at them, they looked up to Hashem. That one I got, because they're saying at the war that Hashem's the one who wins the wars. Over here, it says the same thing.
They're looking up.
Right? Is the snake when it kills or heals? No. But when they look up, they were Mishabe Liba Avim Shbashmaim. It shouldn't say that. It should say that they took the Musar from the snake, because the snake shows that's what Lashon Hara is. You bite somebody, you don't get any pleasure yourself, you just bring down the other one. It should say that's what it should say. It should say that they looked at the snake and took Musar from it. It's not what it says. Why? Because the whole idea was that it was a lack of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That same lack of faith, the snake was, yes, they spoke badly about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the idea is Moshe put the snake up high. Why? Just put the snake regular. Put it up high. Why? So that they should look up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and realize, not only did you speak Lashon Hara, look who you spoke Lashon Hara against. And if you really, ultimately, all Lashon Hara is lack of faith, because it's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give me what I need. You know, somebody who has everything he needs doesn't care about the other guy, you know, that what the other guy has, you know. My rabbi used to say, you know, you win the lottery and somebody goes and takes your seat on the bus, doesn't bother you, right? It's when you feel you don't have enough, you feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to give you enough, that's when it bothers you. So, yeah.
When Miriam died, the water stopped.
Mm-hmm.
They complained about the water. They received water. They didn't get punished. When Aaron died,
mm-hmm.
the man stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're complaining about the man. But again, now they're saying, why'd you bring us up out of Egypt?
Mm-hmm.
Every time they complain about that, that's when they get mm-hmm. punished. Meanwhile, they did have food. It was on the hoof with them.
What they had food, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Were they afraid to say?
What were they
afraid to slaughter the cattle, because last time they had meat?
Well, I mean, it sounds like they got it back. Like Moshe davened for that, and it came back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the mum was because Moshe, no? I thought the clouds were the clouds.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They lost the clouds. The Anani HaKavod were Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so they were open, but they had right. That's maybe perhaps why the Kanani attached. Why the Kanani attack as soon as Aaron died? Because they were exposed. Mm-hmm. They saw an opening.
Yeah.
But they had it. So I guess really the I guess you could sum up that you know, maybe the theme of this parsha is don't sell ourselves short. We have an unusual ability to influence others. We have HaKadosh Baruch Hu is never forsaken us, and he's willing to perform miracles to us. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought that he had to sell short. He was wrong also. And certainly the people who thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at any turn is not going to take care of them, they were proven wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, the end of the parasha as well, you know, the wars that they won are amazing. Moshe points men in Devarim. And hopefully we'll see the greater miracles happen very soon, before the 3 weeks, with the coming Mashiach.
Amen.